This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And look, if I seem a little bit too excited, and we'll get back to the politics in a minute. If I seem a little too excited, maybe on a Friday, one, you know that amps me up. Two, there are only going to be a certain percentage of people who appreciate what I'm about to say. I understand that. And maybe you're one of these people, but you ready for this? Chris, you won't appreciate what I'm about to say, but one day you will. Tomorrow is Saturday, right? You with me? Saturday? We don't have any kids' sporting events to attend tomorrow. None. See, Chris couldn't possibly have been more dismissive of this. And I know that I'll miss it one day. And when I'm a grandpa, Lord willing, I'm going to go to every grandkid sporting event. It doesn't matter when it is, where it is, I'm going to all of them. I'm going to be at everything. But there is this window when you have children. Before they can drive, when they're into sports, and you want them to play sports, it's healthy. You don't need them to be great, or you don't want to be that person. Just learn teamwork and hard work and working out and things like that, all the value that sports brings. Your weekend isn't necessarily a weekend at all. You'll be up at 5, 6 a.m. on Saturdays, driving 2 hours away for a baseball game or a tournament here or this or that or this or that. There are no more weekends. But not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow, I don't want to brag about this wild party life I have. I'm going to sleep in past 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I probably won't be able to sleep in, but I'm going to sleep, and I'm going to sleep without an alarm set. I'm going to sleep until I wake up on my own. Doesn't make any... Look, you should see the look on Chris's face right now. No appreciation for what I'm talking about. Chris, you have no idea how many young and older parents who remember are nodding, and they know exactly what I'm saying. And you'll be there, pal. You will be there. And I can't wait to laugh in your face. Jesse, why do conservative news organizations continually air communist propaganda? Even you do this, and I'll never understand why. When AOC or Dome or Bernie Sanders say a stupid communist take, you guys run it. Everyone does it. Why do you all do this? Well, buddy, couple things. When it comes to war, do you think it's important to know what the other side is doing? That's like the most important thing in the world. It's more important to play what AOC says than it is what Donald Trump says. Did you realize how few Trump statements get played in audio on the show? Yes, we'll play some, of course. He's the president, the leader of the party, but it's not something I prioritize at all. You know what Trump thinks. You know what Trump says. You have to understand your enemy. It's everything. Playing what Bernie Sanders says is about 10 million times more important than what Donald Trump said in a speech. Also, and this is not at all meant to be insulting. I know I will probably say it insulting. I can't help it. I'm my father's son. It is not meant to be that way at all. You should start your own show. And I really genuinely mean this. When people have, I don't like how this show's done, or everyone does it like this, it's easy to start a show now that audio equipment is so readily available. I have many friends who have started shows in their garage. They'll sit down in their living room. It's just a microphone and some recording equipment. It's nothing. If you think there is space out there, if you have something to say on anything, it doesn't have to be political. Maybe you're a car guy. Maybe you're a lady who likes cooking or something, whatever women do. Maybe start a show. Record it. Put it on video if you want. Throw it up on these social media websites are free. Everyone can get an Instagram account. Start putting up 2-minute videos of you baking muffins in the morning. Everyone's doing it. Maybe your muffins are special. Maybe you have something to say. Maybe you have a sense of humor. Start a show. You might be good at it. You might enjoy it. You might find yourself where I am, where I worked for 37 years working normal jobs, and now I don't even have a job, and they pay me for this. That could be you one day. Now, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to do it. But if you have a different idea on how to do things, even what I do, maybe you're better. I certainly didn't invent the wheel here. I'm not the best. Maybe you're the best and you haven't started yet. Start it. You might enjoy it and you might be good at it. Whiskey Club Oracle. Oh, this is about that guy yesterday who's a part of an exclusive whiskey tasting club. Chris, did we ever hear back from that guy? I've never even heard of that kind of thing before. I didn't know that was the kind of thing existed. I guess if I drank more, I would definitely be involved, but it's probably expensive, isn't it, Chris? You think so? How much do you think it costs to be part of a whiskey tasting club? Chris said, how much is nice whiskey? I don't know, 40, 50 bucks, I would guess. What are you making that face? That's what it costs when I used to drink it all the time. For a good bottle. I mean, I think Jim Beam back in the day was 20, 25 bucks. You go up to $40, $50, that's good whiskey. I don't think I've ever bought anything that's nicer than that. I mean, I know it exists. I know that fancy stuff. Anyway, this guy says, Whiskey Club Oracle. What flavor of ice cream do you think you will bring to your initial visit to the Whiskey Club? That's a sure way to make a great impression. You guys are so mean. And his name is Mark. That's one. Two, I'll say this about bourbon. Don't discount it as a dessert topping. I used to work with this guy. I used to sell RVs with this guy named Cliff. I don't want to give out his wife's name. I probably shouldn't even said Cliffy's name, but I love Cliff. I used to work with this guy named Cliff, and his wife is one of these amazing cooks. Just had a talent. And she had this ice cream dessert and she would top it with a bourbon topping. I think she cooked the alcohol out of it. So, you know, you give it to kids, but you got that smoky bourbon flavor. I had never in my life had bourbon as a dessert ingredient before. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Chris, have you ever had that? Is that I'm telling you, man, when you see like a bourbon sauce or a bourbon topping on something about it, it was good. Hey, old guy, are the communists finding themselves exposed as they frantically try to muddy the waters? All right, so communists are always worried about being exposed, but they will always risk being exposed to move the revolution forward. Think about communists as criminals, because in essence, that's what they are. Remember, they're fighting a revolution against an established society, which involves the breaking of laws, the breaking of norms. They're always doing things they shouldn't be doing. And like any criminal, the risk of getting caught is always there, and they don't want to get caught, but an Italian mafia guy is a good example of this. Every autobiography I ever read or documentary I watched, almost every one of these guys did time, and I'm talking about prison time, and it was just baked into the cake. Well, yeah, at some point in time, you're going to do prison time. At some point in time, you're going to go to prison. It was always understood. You can't stop committing crimes. That's what you do for a living. You'll commit as many as you can get. You'll try to avoid getting caught. You don't want to get caught, but you understand that that's part of the job. Communists getting caught doing something horrible, that is baked into the cake. They know that is part of it. They always know that's going to be part of it. That's why they have a built-in defensive mechanism. Whenever they get caught, they will immediately play the victim and act like you're the aggressor. They all do this every time when they get caught red-handed. Why are you oppressing me? Why are you killing me? I was only trying to impede federal law enforcement. You're a fascist. Who's oppressing me? Immediately play the victim and reverse it and act like the good guys are the bad guys. They all do it every time. They can't help themselves. All right. We'll talk about someone's mad about the feminists and the hockey team. Someone has a question. Someone has a request. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, getting through as many questions as we possibly can. Gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Also, some guy's running a half marathon, and he made a Frito Bandito request. And a lot of people have made that, and I feel the need to deliver.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, 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 bunch of Fritos.
Hey, Chris, you think you could run a half marathon? That's weak. That's weak. I think you should train and run a half marathon. For a charity, you can even pocket some of the cash. What? I'm trying to encourage you. Train to run a half marathon. I want to see you do it. What? Could I do it? Probably. Probably be great at it, but this is not about me. This is about you. I want you to do it. Hey, Bronco, I'm getting sick and tired of these feminists trashing our boys on the U.S. hockey team for simply laughing at a joke by Trump. It's obvious why they're doing it. These are straight, white, patriotic, masculine men who love the country. How do we fix these feminists? Says his name is Mike. Well, it's not that you can fix feminists, all right? But here's something I've learned about feminists over the years. There's ways to deal with them. The first way is simply ignore them. The sports media world, do you understand what it is? The sports media world, the people who do the writing about sports, the people who go on the news and talk about sports, ESPN and things like that. This is not universal, but it's very, very common. For the dudes, they go into sports media because it gives them finally some semblance of power over the athletes they could never be. When you are, and I was in high school, obviously once, barely, but I was in high school once, and I was not some great athlete by any stretch of the imagination. And I remember the great athletes from our high school. I remember being a freshman in high school. And you know, there's always the special select group of super pretty girls who are seniors. And you're a little dork freshman at 15. And you look like a toothpick. And she's never even going to look your way. And you look, and who's she always dating? The college quarterback. If you are the college quarterback, the quarterback of the football team. If you allow envy to overcome you, and every guy will have a moment like this, you can think to yourself, this sucks. Why does he get the girl? And I don't get the girl. I deserve the girl. And if you allow that envy to overcome you, you will eventually go into sports journalism because one day it will allow you to stand in front of that athlete when he just got done with practice or he just got done winning the gold medal, and you'll be able to start interrogating him over something you want him to talk about. It'll give you the feeling of power over the guy you could never be and you've always been jealous of. Vice versa. There is an ever-increasing representation of women in the sports media now. Now, there were always, you know, some sideline reporters, great ones like Michelle Tafoya and those types. Those types always existed. But now, they have to be part of every sports broadcast. It's just absolutely brutal. Who are they? They're the ones who wanted to date the high school quarterback, and they were too ugly at the time. Now, they have a chance to get back at him. What are you doing laughing at a funny joke from Donald Trump? And then they'll write an article trashing the guy they've wanted their entire lives. And let me clue you in on something. You want to talk about fixing feminists? Find every single woman who spent the last 5 days complaining about the U.S. men's hockey team and get one of those hockey players to ask her out on a date. She'll say goodbye to feminism faster than the speed of sound. Oh my gosh, yes, I would love to. Will you take me to Red Lobster tonight? Can I wear your gold medal like that? It's all about bitterness and envy. If you want to fix feminists, first you ignore them. Second, just simply never let them have power over you. And what does that mean? You never give in to their demands, ever. You never say what they want you to say. You never do what they want you to do. Mock them, laugh at them, ignore them, flat out refuse them. You have any idea how many feminists email this show mad at me, calling me a misogynist and everything else? We laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. It's just never going to have an impact on me at all. I don't have any respect for women like that, women who think like that, women who act like that. It's just not... I don't value your opinion. It's just now, I'll tell you what, you get some, look, we have all kinds of stay-at-home moms who listen to the show. You get some stay-at-home mom who emails in, hey, Jesse, I'm raising 3 kids. Hey, Jesse, my husband and I are struggling with work. Hey, Jesse, but okay, well, now I'm listening. Now you're somebody that I respect. You email into the show screeching at me, calling me a misogynist. All that does is encourage me to make you even angrier. I love that you hate me. I think it's fantastic. I think you're poison on society, and I love making you miserable. Can't help it. I'm a bad person. Preborn, they're good people, though. That's something I would hope we can all agree on. I know we can't because we have a bunch of baby murderers in our society, but I hope one day we get to a place where everyone wants an unborn child to have a chance at life. Preborn hands out that chance every day. Did you know that Preborn saves 200 lives a day? Most of us will never save one life in our entire life. Preborn saves 200 a day. Do you want to be part of that? $28 to Preborn may just sound like $28. That $28 buys a woman an ultrasound. And if she gets an ultrasound, she will choose life almost every single time. A woman who has already decided to have an abortion. Help Preborn give her that ultrasound. Save a life today. Just as powerful as running in front of a bus to throw that kid out of the way. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and sign up today. When I say sign up, just give what you can. It's tax deductible. preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. All right, why did it take 50 years to get that guy a Medal of Honor? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So this lady wants to know, the gentleman who just earned the Medal of Honor, well, they finally draped it on him. He earned it a long time ago. He earned it in the Korean War 75 years ago. Why did he just now get it? All right, so let's have a talk. Maybe a touch uncomfortable, but that's kind of our specialty here. Let's have a talk. The Medal of Honor. The Medal of Honor is obviously the highest award for bravery you can get in the United States military. And there are, look, we do Medal of Honor Monday every Monday. There are just insane, incredible stories of people who've earned the Medal of Honor. Also, there's politics involved sometimes, for good and bad. I've told you many stories before about people who earned the Navy Cross or Silver Star or something like that, and you read the citation and you say to yourself, well, this guy did something every bit as brave as the last 10 guys I heard earned the Medal of Honor. Yeah, but maybe his commander had it out for him and didn't like him. You think that can't make it go away? Made it go away a lot. Now, that's the guys who don't ever get one. Now, let's talk about the ones who do. Sometimes no one saw you do what you did, or the right guy didn't see it. Sometimes you have a bad or lazy commander. He's jealous or something like that. And other times, medals are given out. Medals of honor are given out for partly, I want to stress that word, partly political reasons. Who drapes the Medal of Honor on people? President of the United States of America. Oftentimes, physically, he's the one who drapes the Medal of Honor on people. The Medal of Honor fills people with pride and patriotism. They like it. Unless you're a scum-sucking Democrat, you like it. It's just Democrats who think that you shouldn't be doing these things. So the guy who's doing the draping, meaning the draping and the Medal of Honor on it, the president, it looks good. It's a good moment for him. There are oftentimes political reasons that get thrown into the bravery. It's not like the bravery isn't there for presidents to put a Medal of Honor on someone. Sometimes it goes beyond the president, or maybe not beyond, beneath the president. Sometimes, maybe, okay, well, let's put it this way. Hypothetical, just a hypothetical, mind you. I am a Republican senator from Tennessee. I've had some bad votes my Republican voters don't really appreciate. The bloom is kind of off the rose when it comes to me. I have a re-election campaign coming up in November. I would really like to keep my Senate seat. My people are upset. I signed on for some amnesty, maybe a little insider trading, standard senator things. You know what? There's a guy. He got a Navy Cross. He did something pretty brave in Afghanistan. He's from Tennessee. I also have President Trump's number. I wonder if I could implore the president to upgrade that Navy Cross to a Medal of Honor. Have me there at the ceremony, standing right beside him. Have me involved somehow. Now, does that take away the bravery of the guy who had already earned a Navy Cross? No, it certainly doesn't. There's a political aspect to all these things. Well, not all probably isn't fair. To a lot of these things, there's a political aspect to it. In the same way, John Bazelon in World War II, he goes and earns a Medal of Honor on Guadalcanal, all kinds of insane bravery, hand-to-hand fighting Japanese in the fog, stacking bodies so much he had to push over the stacks, just standard John Bazelon things. John Bazelon earned a Medal of Honor for that. John Bazelon, and he hated this, I love this about him, John Bazelon then got pulled out of there, and they made him go crisscross the country selling war bonds, trying to raise money for the war. Bazelon was a Marine and a fighting man and a freaking beast, by the way, New Jersey native. I love that guy. He's just amazing. They still have a parade honoring him every year. Isn't that cool? Anyway, John Bazelon. What, Chris? What? Oh, yeah, we do. We actually have a statue of John Bazelon on the bookshelf behind me as we speak. And that aside, John Bazelon was made to be, you can justify it, but he was made to be a political prop afterwards to raise money for the war. He despised it, ended up fighting against it, basically insisting that he be sent back into war so he could train and guide younger Marines. They sent him back into Iwo Jima, where he was killed, sadly, in Iwo Jima. Military awards have a political aspect to them a lot. I suspect the 100-year-old warrior from Korea, who most definitely earned it, I suspect Donald Trump was looking for an older guy that virtually everyone would stand up and cheer for. A heartfelt, patriotic, wonderful moment to round out his State of the Union address. And this is just what I suspect. I don't have any insider knowledge on this. I suspect somebody was given orders of, hey, There's got to be a World War II vet or Korean vet who did something crazy brave, probably deserves a Medal of Honor. Can you maybe track him down in time for the State of the Union so we could have Melania pin one on him in the State of the Union? Would probably make us all look pretty good. That is not to take away from the bravery, but that's the ugly side of life, isn't it? It's the ugly side of life. Jesse, what are your thoughts on Chesty Puller, famed Marine, World War II, Korean War general, whose prophecies about the political landscape of today 50 years ago? He saw this coming. Why couldn't the politicians who were running things back then couldn't or wouldn't? I'm a Chesty Puller super fan. Chesty Puller, I was in 1st Battalion, 7th Marines Alpha Company, and he was formerly 1st Battalion, 7th Marines. And there were Chesty Puller pictures and everything all over battalion headquarters. He was well known in my battalion. Well, he's well known across the country. So I'm a Chesty Puller super fan. However, it's always easier for a military man who's used to being in command to solve problems and solve them right away in a way that makes sense. Because Chesty Puller didn't have to deal with the courts or the House or the Senate or wine moms who vote a certain way. Chesty Puller was a commander of men. So if you needed something done, you go do this, you go do that, you do this immediately, and something gets done. And military people, really, it doesn't have to just be military. Type A men will always struggle with the slowness of our system. Because you, and I shouldn't just say men, because there are women like this too, you have already identified the problems. These people are bad. This policy is bad. This isn't good. This is good. Stop this. You go there. Stop that. You stop this. You start doing this. It's simple. You could solve it in a day. Our system is not designed like that. Our system was designed intentionally to move slow. That's a good thing when they're trying to do bad things. But that's a bad thing when you're trying to do good things. If you end up with a corrupted system like we have, it can be very, very frustrating watching it move at a snail's pace when you're trying to right the ship. The largest, most powerful company in the world, it's a big cruise ship, not a speedboat. It turns slowly. One more segment. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's been a freaking good day, and I hope you have a blessed weekend. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Remember, Monday's Medal of Honor Monday. That's coming soon. Always a good time. Let's get back to as many emails as we possibly can before we check out of here. Hey, Jesse, I have heard you say twice in the last month that you were going to explain why you call Kamala Harris dome, yet you have failed each time. I'm starting to think you are avoiding the question because you don't actually know anymore. His name is Anthony. By the way, remember, this woman is 100% running. I don't know whether or not she's going to run in 2028. I'm not sure about that. I suspect she will wait and see where the political winds are blowing. If it looks like it might be a good year for Democrats, maybe she jumps in. If it looks like, I don't know, maybe it's not our year. Remember, she's young enough. I know she's 60, but that's not old politically. She's young enough to wait for 32 years or till 2032. She's thinking about it.
Will you run again?
I haven't decided.
You're still thinking about it.
I might.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I might. Of course. Black Lung Jesse, when you described your cigar experience, I couldn't help but think of Ben Stiller in Zoolander coughing and self-diagnosing black lung after 10 minutes in a coal mine. Buck up, Merman. I've been coughing for like 3 days. I think a cigar guy might be like a once every 6 months type thing. Or what, Chris? Or, hear me out. This guy goes on to mention Clint Eastwood and always having a half cigar in his mouth. Chris, why can't I do that? It doesn't say you have to light it to be a cigar guy. What about one of those little things? The little cigars that Clint Eastwood had. You don't ever have to light it. No one's ever going to know. Everyone thinks you're about to light it. There's been so much throat clearing. And I didn't anticipate this much throat clearing. There's a lot. I do think I'd made some mistaken inhales from time to time because it felt like my lungs were on fire. And I told you about when I was blowing the smoke out my nose. It was like somebody had just held my face over an active volcano. That's what it felt like when it came out. My nose was burning, and it wasn't a great feeling. So we're going to make some cigar adjustments. We cigar guys do that. All right. We do, Chris. We make adjustments. I want you to make an adjustment on fixing your pain. That's what I want. I don't want you to live with it. I don't want you to be pig-headed about it. Quit being pig-headed. Just have some more ibuprofen. Well, I'll ignore it. I'm fine. After all, your back's supposed to hurt. No, it's not. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients, but it was developed by doctors. But it's drug-free. I'm big on that. I don't like all these drugs in our bodies. You take it every day. And the volume of pain in your life every day gets better and better and better and better and better because Relief Factor builds up in your system over time. How you feel after a week, it's better after two, better after three. That's why after 3 weeks, everyone calls and orders more. Try it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? All right. Hey, Jesse. This one's as heavy as 10 boxes.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
You said you don't exaggerate stakes. No election or court decision is everything. My question is, for you personally, what would be everything or the last straw? At what point would you say this is done, this one is everything, or the experiment failed? I'm feeling more optimistic, so on and so forth. As far as answering that for the nation, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you for me personally, as I've always said, you can't kill your way out of a problem. People like to imagine they can. You can't. I do not believe violence is an answer most of the time. That should be always the last resort. I think we should fight really, really hard politically and slowly work our way out of this problem. That's what I believe we should. I think it will take a lot of time, but that's the only way to do it that lasts. Otherwise, you just end up with this cycle of violence and all that. Now, that said, communists in this country have flirted with an idea that has been done in many communist countries in the past. And that idea is the taking away of children and family members. Hey, you're going to say this or we'll take your kids away. You're going to take this COVID vaccine or we'll take your kids away. You're going to say that trannies are real or we'll take your kids away. I will kill anybody who shows up at my house to take my children. And I don't care what you have. I don't care what your government role has to be. Maybe you're not even in the government. If you ever show up and attempt to take members of my family, I will kill you, and I will kill you very quickly. Very quickly. You want to see me turn into a very violent human being, show up at my house to take my kids. Well, there is a law. I don't care. I'll kill you too. You don't get to ever have my family. Never in a million years. That would be my drop dead. Oh, and one other thing for the country as a whole. If there is ever, and I'm not confident this will ever happen, but if there is ever a federal effort to confiscate firearms, that's when it's time to start shooting. And that's not an exaggeration. Other than that, peaceful, legal at all times. If the government ever says, we're coming to your house to take your guns, they are doing that because they are about to commit genocide the way every government who's ever done that has done. That's when it's time. Until then, We fight culturally. We fight politically. We get involved in campaigns. We get involved in local organizations. You get your butt into church. You get to know your neighbors. There are all kinds of things you do. But those personally, that's my drop dead. And federally, that's my drop dead moment. Jesse, Caroline Leavitt is pregnant and will need a replacement when she's on maternity leave. If you were asked, would you step in and replace her for a few months? Because that would be the best 3 months of our lives. I don't think anybody wants that. Well, I'll tell you this. There's no way Donald Trump actually wants that. No, Chris. He would be okay with it, right? But everyone knows I would take it too far. I have nothing but complete disdain for all the dirtball commies in the media in that room. And everyone knows I would last a week, maybe, and I'd be fired. What, Chris? What? Chris said, what about a deputy press secretary? Well, you're still representing the White House. You know, you can't just get up there and say whatever you want to say. They sit down and strategize, and you work exclusively for Donald Trump. You say what Donald Trump wants you to say, and there are going to be things even Trump would think I was probably going a little too far and probably wouldn't put it quite the way he put it. It's just, look, if I stood up there and said,
why are you gay?
That's not going to land well. You go enjoy your weekend. Put your phone down. That's all.